name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. You may be seated. We've got John the Baptist again. He's back for round two. It's a bit different this time. We're in the Gospel of John. And this time, it's a little more about Jesus than John. So these men that were sent, they were sent from the Pharisees, priests, and Levites. They were sent to find out who John was. I mean, since John was offering baptism for forgiveness of sins, I mean, either he's a fraud or he's a big deal. And they want to find out who, which one that is. So, and the clear, obvious one of the prophesied figures from the Old Testament is the Christ, the Messiah. The Anointed One. Those are all the same thing in different languages. So, right away, John, right off the bat, without any questioning, says, absolutely not. I mean, the text, he confessed, and he did not deny, and he confessed, I am not the Christ. So, I mean, from there, it kind of turns into a bit of interrogation. I am not the Christ. Well, then are you Elijah? I am not Elijah. Well, what about the prophet? Are you the prophet? No. And you start to get tired of him. Just tell us who you are. So he gives them the answer from Isaiah, just like last week. I am the voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. But they're not too satisfied with that. They want to start questioning his whole, what he's doing. Baptizing, if you're just the voice crying in the wilderness, that doesn't give you a license to baptize. Where's your baptizing license? You're going to need one of those to be conducting those. There's regulations. You can't just offer people purification. You can't just tell them their sins are forgiven. You're going to need to be a very special person from God to do that sort of thing. And so they ask, that's why they ask. If you're not any of these, if you're not the Christ, if you're not the prophet, if you're not Elijah, why are you baptizing? His answer doesn't really give them a reason. It doesn't really give them an answer to the question. But John's trying to put them back on track. To see the heavenly things involved in this situation. And this happens a lot in John's gospel, especially with Jesus, when he's asked a question. He corrects them. He sets them straight. So, for example, after he enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, there's Greeks that come into Jerusalem and they want to see Jesus. So they sort of take the preferred route. If you're going to meet an important person, they go to his disciples. I mean, if you're going to meet the governor or something, you want to at least talk to his secretary first. You don't want to just go right up to him, and you want someone to introduce you. So they go to his disciples, say, we want to see Jesus. And so those couple of disciples go to Jesus, presumably say, some Greeks want to see you. Will you meet them? And Jesus comes back. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Jesus, we were talking about you were going to meet some Greeks. What's going on here? But he goes on and continues to explain how and foretells his death, his crucifixion, that is where the Son of Man is glorified. And he does that because in order to see Jesus truly, like the Greeks want. To see him the clearest, you need to see him on the cross. So we have, that's why a crucifix is a common image. We have the body on the cross to see Jesus there. So, when John gets asked for his baptizing license, he says, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." So he starts that he's baptizing with water to say, I'm not that big of a deal. Like, he knows he is sent by God, but he's nothing compared to the one who comes after him, Jesus. Jesus is the one they should be interested in. He's the one they don't know. He's the one he's trying to bring their attention to. That's why he's out there baptizing. But they can't. They don't know who he is. They don't recognize him, even though he's right there among them. The same goes for us. For us to see Jesus, to see the importance, we need to know his identity, who Jesus is, where did he come from, and what he does here on earth, did. And to be honest, if we didn't know, why would we be celebrating Christmas soon? We can't see the importance of Christmas if we don't know who that baby in the manger is. It's just, sure, it's strange with the virgin birth and people visiting him. But if we don't know who it is, it's not going to matter. So that's another thing we should think about in Advent. Who is Jesus? And this Sunday is kind of a break in the strong repentance and forgiveness of sins, as Pastor preached last Sunday. It's why we have the rose candle, why we rejoice. We rejoice in who Jesus is. And the Bible gives us plenty of names for him, plenty of ways to talk about it. For now, let's stick with the first chapter of John, where our reading comes from. Starts off that he is the Word. And since the Word was God, we know Jesus is God. And he is the light that John came to witness about. I mean, sort of implicitly, those titles that John says he's not, Jesus is. Jesus is the Christ. He is Elijah. He is the prophet. And even after our reading, John the Baptist continues on. And he points out Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. And he is the Son of God. Then one of his disciples gives a confession. It says he is the King of Israel. And Jesus says that himself that he is the Son of Man. And he is Jesus of Nazareth. All of these names are just in one chapter. And John's gospel has plenty of other names besides. And he has these great I am statements that confess that Jesus is the God of the Old Testament, but also gives us other names. He's, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. He is the life of the world. Those two are what my pectoral cross is about. It has the Greek for light and life, because he is the light of the world and the life of the world. Even this cross is about who Jesus is. But you could get very sidetracked just picking out all the names. That's pretty much what the whole Bible is about. Who Jesus is. There's one name in our reading that specifically can focus on. It is the one name in our reading that is explicitly used for Jesus. The light. So to get at what it means for Jesus to be the light, we have to think about light first, and what's so special about light first. It lets us see, it reveals things, shows us what they are, and fumbling around without light, especially when you're not expecting it, can be kind of unsettling, especially if you're not prepared. We kind of had that during my last sermon. I mean, it was the first thing that God created before anything else. That has to be some significance in that. And it's almost impossible to sneak around in bright light. You'd have to have something behind, because the light just doesn't go around that thing. But if you're in the light, you're not really going to be able to be hidden. Darkness can hide any number of things. I mean, if you're walking around in the dark, there's some snake just happens to be there, what's going to tell you that it's there? Unless it makes a sound, you can't see it. You pretty much have to get lucky to avoid it. But God even made some light for the night. He didn't want to leave us completely in darkness. He gave us the moon. So by its very nature, light reveals things. It shows us the truth. Makes it impossible for anything to be hidden. Jesus is light. He is visible and makes everything else visible. It makes himself known, and it shows what everything else means, what it truly is as well in Scripture. Especially in the cross. The cross is the source of light for the rest of the Bible. It shows us what they mean. It's what we can read the Bible through. It takes the words on the page, shakes off all the dust, and leaves a gleaming jewel for us to see. So, yes, just like when Jesus responded when the Greeks wanted to see him, the cross is the place to see Jesus. It is the place that reveals who he is. At least in the clearest way. So let's use an example with one of the other names of Jesus, the Son of Man, as he said then. It's always, always used by Jesus to talk about his upcoming crucifixion, his upcoming death. There's nowhere in the epistles that refers to him as the Son of Man. It's always Jesus himself. And what he said concerning the Son of Man, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Well, now we know that this is through the cross, that the glorification, the highest place that Jesus is there. He's at his highest point when he dies. He is at the highest point when he saves you. First and foremost, that is who Jesus is, your Savior. So we can spend some time thinking about these other names of Jesus in Advent. John chapter 1 is the beginning of it is also the text for Christmas. So it would be appropriate to take a closer look at this, to prepare. Go ahead, go home. Just read the first chapter of John. See what you can see. Read it with your family. See what each other see. Sometime before Christmas. And then, I mean, if you're confused on anything, you can always ask. There's nothing wrong with that. And then, for Christmas, we can know who's lying in that manger. We can know that this is our precious Lord. This is the light who reveals all to us. Because if the angels didn't tell the shepherds, and the star didn't guide the wise men, they wouldn't be there worshiping Jesus either. So for us to be ready to come to the manger and worship him, let's spend some time getting to know who it is and what he's going to do. Because he is not hidden in darkness, but he shines for us to see. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you.